Hello, we are here. It is Thursday.
Good intro.
Yes, I suppose, is this still technically Starman and the Boomer? I don't know. Is
it's something. It's our stream. People know what it is. It's esoteric. It's deliberately dense sometimes. People don't care. They're still turning up, which I'm quite glad of.
as am
But
I for one as well. Is
yes, we are here.
here is where we are. Has Trigg still got man flu then?
I think he's just busy today.
Ah, right.
He'll be doing the stream on Saturday, for those interested. I'll be streaming Saturday, probably about 10 p.m. because we have a US guest, but it'll be me and Trig, and we'll be talking about Le Ghost Guns with I wish I could. I'll link him in the chat in a sec when I find it. But it's Mr. It's the guy who runs a Twitter called RK Spookware. He's pretty cool. Apparently, he's a fan of the show. So we will be streaming with him on Saturday, which would be kind of cool.
And getting the channel banned.
Yes. Well, yeah. They're just speaking of which, the channel Twitter has unfortunately been removed for my crimes against cyclists. Weird. That's what got it. But yeah, I made a gas the bikes joke.
Well, yeah, you're not even allowed to say that people should be not alive anymore on Twitter, so.
It was a very low-end joke, though. That's the thing. Yeah, the channel Twitter is gone, and it's because I made a back gas the bikes race car now joke.
So we are now officially on Telegram for good.
Yes. For those who don't know, I'm here to let you know we do have a Telegram channel. I posted it in the community section previously, but if those noises are correct, that might be Evelyn posting in the chat there. I'm not sure.
Oh, that should work. Yep.
There we go. We do have the Telegram. So if you guys want to join us on Telegram, we will be posting there and updating there pretty regularly, I think. I think it's a better place to gain traction. There's a lot more of the you dedicated guys there. I've seen some of
Yes.
you regular chat people there, which is nice. It's nice to talk to our
Well,
more dedicated viewers.
I was going to say, I think a big chunk of the people who are regular watchers have probably already watched me sit there giving out schizo rants on Telegram for the last few weeks anyway, but for the stragglers who are not already.
Yes. And I'll be joining with content more there now that I've finally been thrown off the Twitters again.
Once you get a hang of how to use it a bit more, it's not too bad really. It's better than bloody Gab, I'll tell you that for sure.
Cannot stand Gab. Really falling out with Mines, to be honest. So I'm gonna try and switch my efforts over more to Telegram. Normal shilling, I'll put it in the chat as the pinned message, but this is the best place to send your questions and donations. Streamlabs takes a smaller cut than YouTube does, but if you do insist on using YouTube, we do have memberships and Super Chat still available somehow. We don't actually get sanctioned on YouTube. I think we've just not been noticed. We have like a security through obscurity thing going on here, which I'm kind of glad of, to be honest. I don't know. A lot of people get depressed with their reach not growing. I'm just glad to, kind of still be here, because a lot of the alternate platforms like Odyssey and stuff are kind of a pain. So yeah, at least I honestly think we're only still here because I have an account that dates from 2007 and is in good standing. And they usually like put they have like some weird behind the scenes trust rating, and I think mine has like a weirdly high trust rating. So it's going to be take quite a lot to erode that, maybe. But that's just a guess because we don't know.
Yeah,
Anyway.
we could wake up tomorrow and it just won't be here anymore, and I don't know, we'll start just like uploading ramblings onto like Substack or something like that.
We'll find a way. I actually have an Odyssey account. I have accounts basically on all the alt tech just lurking. I just don't use them because I don't like to split our audience too heavily, which is fine. Yes, I see you, Travis Wolf. Yeah, the Mines thing, I tried using it quite heavily for a while, about 6 months ago, I think. Maybe about a year ago. And it's just dead. Unfortunately, Mines is just dead. So but we've got the shillings out of the way. We should probably talk about the topic of the video. Unless you have anything else to shill, Evelyn.
I was gonna quickly say thank you to all the people who are members and stuff of the channel, because it is very
Yes.
handy that they contribute to us regularly. I don't know.
It is.
I had someone else asking me about other ways that we might look about that, and I think I'd mentioned before, and we might need to discuss it more about using Substack as a way to paywall things. And the only issue I have with that is we aren't in a position really where we can guarantee regular content. So I'm
No,
not.
I'd like us to get into a better position before we start doing anything
Yeah.
like that, really.
I don't know. The thing is, I understand part of that transitionary period is it kind of getting paid to make semi-regular con or semi-irregular content anyway, because you know it kind of goes hand in hand. But I don't know. We'll continue chipping away and doing as we have done in streams and writing stuff and whatever else we come up with. So.
Well, the topic of today's video is all very old news, actually. We're talking about something that happened way back in 2016, and really started long, long before that. But I think the cutoff point of what we're talking about today is probably about 2015.
Yeah.
I've had the notes for this since I saw it, since I actually saw the closure about, 6 years ago.
Sorry,
But it's
you sew
I sew it, yes.
it. Did you sew it like you would a drawing?
Oh no, stop making fun of my accent. But yeah, I saw it when it happened. I've been fascinated with it ever since because it is a very interesting worked example of like the end point of legislating something away that you're not technically supposed to be able to, especially on like a local level. Like this, you have this kind of microcosm of somewhere like San Francisco, which is really the pause petri dish. It is, as we've seen, merely further along the pipeline because they've had so much greater total control there to an extreme degree, to the point that they have managed to not only make it an extremely unfriendly environment to something like a gun store, but to actually make it impossible legally to operate one within the city limits of San Francisco.
Well, I think maybe it's worth mentioning this also slightly ties into the stream we did a few weeks ago now about the what was it, the Infinite Council House or the Infinite Council Estate
Yes.
with Sadiq Khan, because there was sort of a similar theme there whereby an extra piece of governance on top of national governments, or in this case federal governance, is applying a further arm of laws to have its own power base, so as to, in the case of the London mayoral elections and their assembly, turning the council housing schemes in London into a racket and essentially
Yes.
forcing private constructors or legislating private constructors completely out of business if they wish to actually sell housing to individuals as opposed to large social care institutions or whatever else. So in the same
It
sense
does.
here, you know, there is the, instead of just banning building private houses, they legislated out the possibility of doing it, and the same thing is happening here. So that instead of just an outright gun ban, there is the slow but sure death by legislation of firearms trading.
Oh, there's another story I'd like to go over at some point as well that will link into this about the. There's an infamous story about the planning permission or the equivalent of planning permission in the US of a laundromat that was supposed to be changed into really just a couple of apartments. And that's a great example of like the local racket that goes on in somewhere like San Francisco. But let's get into the background here because
Would you like to
prior
start
to.
with the Trace article?
Yes, prior to 2016, this is an article from July 2015, 7 years ago, in a website called The Trace, which is basically an NGO run by Michael Bloomberg to
Oh.
try and yes, it yes, it's an NGO derived website from Michael Bloomberg trying to tell us that guns are terrible, but doing it in a weirdly like false neutrality way. It is specifically an anti-gun lobby website. But they do pieces like this where they try and, they look at the gun industry, gun shops and gun owners Like Michael Bloomberg looks at anyone whose last name isn't Berg. It's very much they look at these as like the other, the outside, and almost with like a weird fascination. Like the tone of the trace is like gun owners belong in a zoo almost.
Yeah, they should be studied and therapeutically managed out of society. You know, their
Yes.
problem isn't with guns per se, it's the attitude of gun owners in America, that kind of crap.
It's this is just called Inside San Francisco, the Last Gun Shop, and it's the only
God.
real profile I could find of High Bridge
The
Arms.
first paragraph already. High Bridge Arms, a gun shop in San Francisco, California, is located in a white stucco building on Mission Street in the upscale neighborhood of Bernal Heights. There is a stunning park nearby with massive red cliffs overlooking the city, and for the medically inclined, a marijuana dispensary down the street.
That'll come into play later. The store, which was operated quietly for decades, recently made the news when a city supervisor proposed a new set of requirements for firearms dealers in response to a series of violent crimes. The proposal mandates that the city gun shops, or in this case, city gun shop, because this is now targeted legislation at this single store, film all transactions and, on a weekly basis, send sales data to the San Francisco police. Blowback is not expected from the city's firearms merchant. There is only one, Hybrid Jams, and it already follows many of these rules on its own. We already have 27, 24/7 surveillance in the building, in and out, says Steve Alco, 41, the shop's longtime general manager. It kind of goes into a bit of the stuff here. It's actually owned by a fascinating figure called Takahashi, who's not someone. From some of the other interviews I've seen, which have sadly been memory holed, this is not a store that makes any kind of money. They only sell maybe a couple of thousand guns a year in a city of millions.
I can imagine.
Yes, and they are already very much under attack by the city itself. You'd probably be very, very pushed to find any of the guns being used in violent crime in somewhere like San Francisco would come from this store. Simply because it's a boutique store
Well,
in a boutique
I was gonna
neighborhood.
say, you know, it's like. It's like how we go and visit like tobacconists in like Manchester or wherever we are doing something. You know, no one, the average person isn't going in there and is picking out four or five cigars and, you know, is gonna go start a fire with them or something silly like that or go. But in the same sense here, it's, you know, being the nature of the fact that it's the one left, you know, I would imagine it's very much a store ordered it. Or, sorry, organized towards either vintage firearms or very specific hunting and sporting gear. It'll be like what gun stores are like in the UK, which is you've maybe got a couple of dozen rifles on the rack and the back wall behind the till, and the rest of it's all just expensive jackets and stuff. And like big outdoor survival knives.
I love that they call San Francisco a paragon of liberalism.
Oh, Jesus.
That's quite funny. A lot of the, yeah, it basically it's a tourist attraction.
Wonder if this Takahashi guy liked Mishima. Takahashi is approximately 5 feet tall, and in 1974 he was ranked the number two power lifter in Northern California. 74 being the year that Yukio Mishima committed suicide, I think.
It's he's kind of a fascinating figure.
Now in his 70s, a picture hangs on the shop's wall of him in his prime deadlifting several hundred pounds. He was pretty strong, Al Cairo says.
He's just this doddering old guy who owns the shop and kind of just has refused to let it die, even though it's not really a going concern. That's kind of the state we find ourselves in 2015. And this is, as we've said, the only gun store in San Francisco at this point. So any gun laws that they pass are targeted specifically at hybrid arms.
Well,
It's...
in the sense of looking at purely at like the sort of San Francisco district, as it were.
And as we've already established, well, we'll talk about it later, but as we've already established, it's basically would be impossible for another gun store to open in San Francisco. You'd never get the planning permission. Let's move on to the next one, then we can kind of track the arc of where this goes. This is from
That's the
Gun.
Chronicle article.
It's the guns.com one.
Oh, let me quickly go and find that.
I'll put it in the general chat. Here you go.
That's all right. No, I've got the
It's
link. Sheet is just I didn't have that one opened.
it's guns.com from July, so about a month after the previous profile was written about hybrid jobs. And this is San Francisco seeks to videotape all gun sales, allow police to track. And what it would do is, in the wake of the murder of an illegal alien with a gun stolen from a federal agent, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors is pushing a strict new gun control initiative. Supervisor Mark Fowler is asking the city's attorney's office to draft legislation requiring gun stores operating in the city to video all gun and ammo sales. Basically, though, it went a lot further, and you'd have to like videotape the person like directly in the face almost. Basically, what they said was that they need to also transmit data along with this video. It's the date of the transaction, the name and address, and date of birth, the transferee, the number of transactions, the brand, type, and caliber, signature, name, blah, blah, blah. But basically, what it would do is it would
It's like
make.
buying your guns and ammunition with
Yeah,
blockchain.
basically, yes. It would create what would be considered an onerous bureaucratic and legal burden on hybrid jobs.
Barrow points to similar laws in Chicago adopted in recent months. How did they work? How did that go?
Yeah. But the thing is, Chicago underwent a similar trajectory, although Chicago hasn't really had functioning gun stores for about a decade. Because basically, what happened is the local politicians went around and told people you won't sell guns because, Chicago is Chicago, but it didn't move the needle at all. But what happened in San Francisco is such a good case study because there's a great arc here. There's a great way to track all of this. It's a great worked example, and I'm glad we're kind of able to do this and not have to keep going back to headlines. Because we can sit back and go, here's how we got here. Here's a great example of what happened. And the latest push for gun control in the Golden Gate City comes only days after the high-profile murder of Catherine Stanile on San Francisco's iconic, apparently, for Pier 14. Undocumented alien. Yeah, used the handgun stolen from a federal agent. Of the city of some nearly 830,000 contains a single gun shop. The staff isn't enamored with the proposed new rules. Yeah,
No
it
wonder.
is. Yeah. It basically means that they can at any point remove records, remove video without subpoena. That's a big thing here is this undermines subpoena laws and privacy laws quite heavily. And the most onerous law that stands is where the boundary of the law is. That's another thing to keep in mind with all of this. All of this is apparently compatible with the Second Amendment, and all of this is possible under the US Constitution. Whether you believe it's being adhered to or not, this is it in practice. So that's the law that was proposed. On top of everything else, on top of California's existing gun laws, on top of what we will see coming in 2016, which is the background checks on ammunition, which has caused abject chaos. We see the proposed law here of basically them. Creating a situation in which the lone gun store in San Francisco will have to victimize its customers and essentially humiliate them.
Well, yeah, that you now have to treat your own patrons as possible criminals because the government said so.
Yes, it's a
As
very, very obviously targeted law.
it kind of shows how desperate sometimes they get trying to work these, these bumps and cracks out of the perfected sort of image they would want to see of somewhere like San Francisco. We'll just survey the gun store until they give us an excuse to get rid of them. Or we'll, as we're going to get into, let's not even necessarily have to actually have a reason to go in. Let's just legislate their business out of operation entirely. And make them treat their own customers like scum.
Well, here's the story. Inevitably, in September
Is this the,
2015,
are we on the Chronicle one now? Oh, no.
either the San Francisco Chronicle or the SF Gate one. They're both pretty good.
I've got both here.
Just get the Chronicle one up first.
Cool.
Because that has some nice little bits in it, I would say. This one's from October, I think the other one's from late September, but
Yeah.
basically in late September 2015, Highbridge Arms makes the decision that it can no longer operate within the San Francisco metro area because of this onerous new law, because it feels it wouldn't be fair to its customers to expose their privacy like that. It wouldn't be fair to their customers to humiliate them like that. But the story goes, Bay Area, San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco's last gun shop gives up the fight. The last gun from the last gun shop in San Francisco has been sold without a single bullet. Elliot Eisenberg, 70, wouldn't have known what to do with ammunition anyway. He was printing flyers at Copy Central on Mission Street last week when he noticed the sign in the windows on Highbridge saying final sale. He went inside for a look and left with a receipt for a Colt 45.
Extremely
Thanks.
boomer move. He
Yeah,
spent
an extreme.
£1,200 on a 19, $1,200 on a 1911. Oh, better be a nice one.
It might even be like a single action. Looking at San Francisco, yeah. Well, that's how much they cost in San Francisco. But yeah, that's the last weapon. My purpose is not violence. Beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Normal liberal kind of bullshitting. Highbridge Arms, the last six gun shop is closed because of a new city ordinance that required gun sellers to video record all commercial firearm sales, as well as give the police the buck.
I was gonna
Sorry.
look at one quick bit here. They just go, thanks for supporting the last gun shop in San Francisco, blah blah blah. Had never held a gun before, let alone owned one, but he's the last person to buy a firearm legally in San Francisco. Like
Yeah.
they're just straight up being like, yep, that's it. Like, fuck yous. It's almost more of a work of art than it is a weapon, he said. Ugh.
But yeah, that's the bit that gets me. It's very cosmopolitan.
Hey,
But
is that Hoppers that says in that little box there in the image below?
I'm not sure.
Hoppers patches.
It looks like it, yeah. Wow, okay.
Sorry, I'll let you go back to reading.
I like the little caveat of legally there. Like they
Oh.
know that illegal firearm sales happening in San Francisco probably every single day. At least on the outskirts. It's a city of 830,000 people, probably more now.
Oh, well, that's I think the thing is we always get like the Skid Row version of San Francisco shown to us, which isn't really even the worst part. That's just like where the
No.
homeless people live at certain parts of the year. If I'm right in saying, the further south you really go, as far as it's still Bay Area is concerned, the worse and worse it gets. And before you know it, you're basically in Crackton.
Yes. It's here we go, the legal battle over guns. This is a good little profile of really what's been done in San Francisco specifically. Highbridge Arms' unlikely survival has played a role in shaping gun control across the country. The shop has inspired several restrictive San Francisco-only gun laws, only some of which have held by the courts. In 2014, a ban on the possession of high-capacity magazines was upheld, but others have failed, such as Proposition H. That's kind of funny because it's so close to preparation. Anyway, the complete ban on handguns was approved by voters in 2000. There we go. This is one of the ordinances I wanted to talk about. There was a San Francisco ballot initiative, as they call the direct democracy stuff, in California, that was passed in 2005, simply in San Francisco, that would allow them to completely ban the sale of handguns. But the National Rifle Association sued on behalf of gun dealers and owners. They won in court, and the initiative never took effect. More recently, the U.S. Supreme Court maintained in June that a San Francisco law banning the sale of bullets that splinter or expand upon contact—basically, they banned defensive ammunition. And then they're saying that was legal. So the Supreme Court said that you can basically limit ammunition to the degree that you want. But the actual full ban on handguns itself was not upheld. That's why they had to go this route, really.
I think it goes to show, though, that this is the I think possibly one of the best examples of this phenomenon we could find, that whether the people that were involved in the vote really believed it or not, 51% of the voting majority in state issue elections in California, which I'd imagine is nowhere near approaching actual majority of the people, but not like that matters anyway. I've just decided that you, as a person, cannot carry something that you can easily defend yourself with on a daily basis. It's the whole thing of Hopper suggesting in much of the work that he puts together that, an insurance company turns around to you and says, well, you can live in this house, but you have to give up your right to bear arms.
Well, the fact that this was a proposition is an interesting one, because it seems to be what they do with laws that they can't get passed via council votes. It's an, what I've seen in my research here is an interesting mix of denying direct democracy because they'll know they'll lose, and using it in very specific cases where they want to get through laws they
Yes.
otherwise wouldn't. Like the handgun law, which I think they knew would probably get shut down in the courts, but it's kind of a haggling. It's the most extreme position.
But
I'm
that's how
looking.
they then argue that they've got a democratic mandate to continue further, gun restrictions or however they want to phrase it.
Well, Proposition H, which was on the ballot with a whole bunch of other ballots, which meant that the quote unquote turnout will be higher than you'd expect on a simple kind of single vote issue. The in a city of 850,000 people, only 200,000 of them actually voted on this initiative, and it passed with about 120,000 votes in agreement with it. It was about a 53% to 40%, it says here. So in a city of 850,000 people, 123,000 people decided that the rest of the population cannot buy handguns at all, and that apparently was legal.
Yep, they have decided that they don't want their neighbours to be able to defend themselves and possibly them as well, which is kind of the really strange thing about it when you start thinking about it in that way, that these people have actively voted to have their ability to self-determine as a community stripped away from them. Now, that's again the lie that you're always sold when you vote democratically is that you're engaging in self-government and you're engaging in self-determination, which you're actually stripping away your ability to persist as a group under oppression.
Well, it's again, it's they couldn't get the handgun law passed, so they had to get this law passed. This really is, like you said, it's a perfect example of the fact that if people have an agenda, they will, by hook or by crook, make it happen. And if they are in power, no matter what the legal precedent is, no matter what a piece of paper says, if you get a group of people in power who can say that they represent the majority opinion, you will always get this erosion to this point. You will always either be straight up
Wait,
banned or legislate.
hold the bus. I've just noticed something here. He goes on to talk about it's a seemingly unpopular business to most, said Al Cairo, who's worked at the store since 2005. But we have a right to self-protection. It's as plain as day to me. The city has no right to tell me what I need to protect myself and how I should protect myself any more than I have a right to tell anyone they can't be married. It's a shame this business is folding. Was Proposition H also the same one that had gay marriage on it and?
No, that was a different proposition, I think.
Right. That's about the same. It's just the fact that he's gone and mentioned that there, though. That must have
It's a
been about the
similar time
time
frame,
this was
yes.
all being debated, and like, because as we might get further into in this stream, the way in which the sort of assemblies in California and their local legislatory board has acted as the forefront for all sort of progressive American legislation, especially in this terms of gun control. But I'd be interested to come back and see how much work was done on testing, how to normalize people to gay marriage in California, in the same way that were these methods then used and extended onto statewide when the whole federal thing came in about it. I don't know. I just that caught my eye there, and I was wondering whether or not that's a coincidence.
Oh, we have a great throwback here. It's one of the earliest supporters of the channel here. The firearm himself, HK9410. It's good to see you on a firearm theme stream. He said, "I've said it before, and I'll say it during my 2032 Vermin Supreme tier presidential campaign.
God.
California should be nuked into oblivion, and nothing of value will be lost." Thank you, Mr. HK9410. Very based.
Yeah,
And
I'm
thank you for
thinking
the 25
about
bucks.
some prime time coral reef properties just right about where the Bay Area is or was. We're just waiting for that one big more earthquake and all of LA included, just all go into the sea.
Well, I've read it. Sorry, I've read it through a little bit. The SFGate article doesn't have anything else to add to it, really.
Cool.
I don't think really. There's a couple of extra pictures in the Fox News one, but there isn't really a lot added to it.
ABC one worth looking at before we get
I was
into.
just going to go over a couple of points here, and that it doesn't actually matter if this law had failed in the courts or not. I don't know if anyone did try and sue the city of San Francisco, because since Highbridge Arms has announced its closure, it's a moot point. There are no gun shops in California now,
Yes.
so de facto there will be no gun sales. Sorry, in San Francisco now. Sorry, so de facto there will be no gun sales in San Francisco. So repealing the laws wouldn't do anything because, as we said, because of San Francisco's extremely restrictive planning structure, you would never be able to turn that store back into a gun store. We'll get on to what it became later, because it's slightly, well, it's very California ironic what actually happened in the end. Yes, Q tool enema. But what we should do is have a quick look at use as a springboard, really, because this is a great
The
example of the bleeding
ABC
edge.
News one.
Right. We've switched computers here, but we are back. It's just me for the moment. I'm afraid I think. Right. We've switched computers here, but we Sorry,
are
I'm afraid we
back.
think that there might have been some sort of Windows update that's happened, which is kind of annoying, but it is what it is. Yeah, I think Evelyn, the computer at Evelyn's house, or at our house, really, has decided to update Windows. And apologies for the echo there. I had the stream playing in the background, just to make sure it was actually running. But I have retained, and I will be continuing solo for now, until Evelyn can come back from the Windows update. Right. Let's actually get the stream in a different window here, otherwise I won't be able to keep track of everything. I am still able to track the donations, don't worry. This is why you have some redundancy built in. And also some different bits and pieces. Do I have a preview pane here? I might have to actually set some stuff up here. So I'm gonna have to get rid of these. I was recording something previously with different settings, so let's get rid of these, and there we go. The last stuff. I'm having to set this back up on the fly, but we will actually have sources here. I can. Get yo ABC7, and we're completely back. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. The thing is, Windows turns it back on, unfortunately. But Evelyn will be back when the update has ceased. But here we go. San Francisco unanimously passes new committee bill aiming to prohibit sale of ghost guns. Even though there are no ghost guns in California, well, in San Francisco, legally able to be transferred to people within the city because there is no FFL within the city limits, which is, I'm sure, as we can all tell, completely insane. But the issue comes that they are still going. There are no more gun stores in San Francisco. And, you know, it's very, I have no mouth and I must scream. It's, you know, I have no gun stores and I must still legislate. But here we are. I think this really is to do with out-of-state sales and the attempt to stop people from buying what are considered incomplete firearms, in quotes. Basically, it's a loophole. A loophole considered by the Democrats anyway. It's a quote-unquote loophole in which people can buy incomplete firearms, like incomplete receivers, drill them out, use a drill press, maybe use like a Dremel or a mill if you're feeling fancy, and they will be able to order these kits and essentially manufacture a firearm. It's something that's been protected under the Second Amendment ever since its inception. It's something very, very common, and was very, very common in frontier days especially, because most people actually made their own muzzle loaders, or they had local gunsmiths make them for them, or at least they maintained them and would repair them if things went wrong. That is a very common practice in the US, or at least it was a very common practice in the US until relatively recently. What we have here with the city ordinance, sorry, this is 2021. This is 6 years almost after the last gun store in the city is closed. So San Francisco may soon be the first California city to ban the sale of ghost guns. Those asking, ghost guns is like a buzzword. It's like a assault weapon. It's like, ghost gun very much is, it's like all those ill-defined legal terms. It's like, you know, military weapon of war and all that stuff. It's really just to scare people. There is no real clear legal definition of what is and is not a ghost gun, which is by design, I would say. Currently, California law allows vendors to sell disassembled ghost gun kits without a serial number on the basis the purchaser will obtain a serial number from the Department of Justice within 10 days of assembling. As you can imagine, nobody is doing that, said Stefani. Well, they're technically breaking the law, is the issue. If you manufacture a firearm for personal use and you sell it, you're meant to put a serial number on it. But under federal law, if you're not going to sell it to anyone, it's just your firearm and you can legally own a firearm. That's none of the government's business. And it's like that with anything. It's creating a situation in which you can break federal law with a file and a drill in your house. I mean, you can do that anyway if you're skilled enough, let's be fair. There's a lot of people out there making the... we'll totally talk about those. Yeah, we're talking about 80% receivers, partially. But we're also... The problem is with the ghost gun is that what they class as a quote-unquote untraceable firearm, which is classed as a ghost gun, are also guns that have their serial numbers filed off. They class those in the same class as ghost guns when you total up the deaths from ghost guns that come out for the Department of Justice. I'll be talking about this quite heavily on Saturday with Mr. Spookware. But we will go through that in more detail then. This stream isn't really about ghost guns, it's about gun legislation. But San Francisco's Police Department's Crime Guns Investigation Center explained that during Thursday's hearing, most gun vendors didn't necessarily inform purchasers of these requirements. Again, this is hilarious because San Francisco has no gun vendors. they're talking about guns that would be shipped in from out of state and then picked up at an FFL outside of San Francisco. So the sale of ghost guns is to do with the fact that these aren't legally firearms. Under federal law, they're not firearms. These are pieces of plastic and pieces of metal. And you will see it again, like I said, in the stream I'll be doing. Oh, excuse me. The stream I'll be doing on Saturday, but it's a redefinition. It allows them to essentially claim that any object can and is a firearm if they decide it so. It really stretches the legal definition of what is and isn't a firearm, and what is and isn't firearms components. It's very different because here in the UK, we actually don't class certain things as restricted. Like magazines, for instance, you can actually buy. I know Count Dankler talks about this. You can actually buy AK magazines on the open market in some places, and that's completely fine because nobody really here can use them. There aren't really any AK-47s in the country, and it's not a restricted part. It's a metal box with a spring in it. But in other countries, in Northern Ireland, for example, I think magazines are restricted because they do have working firearms that could possibly take them. And it's a hodgepodge of what someone does and doesn't say is a quote unquote firearm. And again, ghost guns can't legally be sold in San Francisco because no gun can be legally sold in San Francisco because there are no gun stores to sell them in San Francisco. It's a complete kind of abstraction here when you get into it. It's them passing law really for the sake of passing law, and then worrying about things coming in from outside of their jurisdiction. What they're really doing here is San Francisco is attempting to legislate the entirety of California from its legislature, because what will happen is that, the point is moot now because of the federal stuff that's been passed. But if this passed and no other law passed, it would make it very difficult for 80% receiver manufacturers to operate in California. Because you'd end up in a situation where if your customer took the weapon itself into San Francisco, you'd technically be breaking city ordinance, but it wouldn't do a meter outside of city limits.
Right, hello.
Hello, yes. Through definition of how the weapon is defined, where I'm actually streaming at the moment. I was able to check in pretty quickly.
Would you like me to switch it back over just so we've got the filters and everything else all working?
Yeah, that'd probably be better. I probably have my desktop audio up quite high. She's probably quite loud. So say something else, just so I can balance it again.
Hello, hello,
Yeah, you were
hello,
probably
hello.
extremely loud when you came in there. Apologies, guys. I was trying to re-record something from a YouTube video that was extremely quiet a couple of days ago. But yes, you should. Pr we should probably switch over. We're gonna go away for a sec here, guys, but we'll be back. So I'm going to stop streaming and Evelyn's going to restart streaming. So we'll be changing over in just a second.
I've stopped and started again.
Ah, there we go. It seems to be coming through now, I'd say. There we
yes, I
go.
believe we are coming through now. Hey.
You refreshed, guys. I know you can't hear me if you're not refreshed, but it's, sorry, that's kind of a moot one. There we go. We've managed the changeover. You will need to reload the window, though. We have a blank screen currently.
No, I'm currently getting the Google document up and whatever else. What article were
But
we
yeah, as
looking
I was
at?
talking, I've talked through people. I've talked through with people watching about the ghost gun issue.
So are you wanting that US Law Shield one then?
Yes. The U.S. Law Shield. Oh, no. The legislation sponsored by Gavin Newsom is the one I want up next, really.
Cool,
The
right.
one from the Office of the Governor
I'll get them
is
up
I think.
in backwards order then, and
Yes.
quickly fix the OBS.
Yes, there we go.
Cool,
But
right,
no,
so
we what we were
sorted.
discussing really is the fact that San Francisco, despite having no gun stores, is still passing gun laws,
Yes.
and restrictions on the sale of guns, which. As I talked about just then, it's actually an attempt to wag the dog of California,
Yes, it
as
is.
San Francisco often does.
This is what I meant about the sort of amendments they had on gay rights and stuff like that prior to federal policy on those issues.
Hopefully, the VOD on this won't be too compromised. I'm not.
It will probably just cut out bits where it's all over the place. Even if it might just mean you need to download the VOD and cut some choppy bits out or something.
It should be okay, but yeah, I'm hoping it's not too bad. We do need to. I'm afraid the venerable old laptop is coming to the end of its life, I think.
It's my hands, isn't it? It is my bizarre EMF signals that I clearly give off that just destroy technology.
Possibly, but where we've gone through so far, the background to the last Constor and its closure, and really the effect that this, it's never enough. That San Francisco didn't just put out a big mission accomplished banner because they closed the last gun store in the city. It is the ever moving frontier. It is the endless revolution, really. It's very Maoist, and that there will never be, as long as there is one gun in the world, there
God,
will never be an endpoint.
I've just read the first paragraph there. Today, the California Senate Judiciary Committee passed SB 1327, private right of action legislation authored by Senator Robert Herzberg and sponsored by Governor Gavin Newsom, to limit the spread of assault weapons and ghost guns. Following the US Supreme Court's decision last December allowing Texas's ban on most abortion services to remain in place, Governor Newsom directed his administration to work with the legislature to propose a measure modeled on the structure of Texas abortion law to enable private citizens to hold the gun industry accountable through civil litigation for the proliferation of illegal firearms. Well, yeah, some guy hit me on the street the other day in a Ford Focus that was stolen, so I'm gonna sue Ford.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's also incredibly petty. We'll go through this when we talk about the
Also,
proposed legislation.
guns are abortions.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about this when we go through some of the other proposed gun laws in 2022. I just wanted to go through some of the qualitative stuff here about what, on a statewide level, the rhetoric being used here and what's being said about it. Because a lot of this is very like dripping language. It's very in-group language. There's no fig leaf here that the gun owning public isn't the enemy. There's no fig leaf here that the firearms industry isn't the enemy. It's very out and out language, and it's very, we'll probably bring in the quote later that I used in that you gave me actually from the American Disease article about the Constitution. Because it's so fitting with all of this. This all takes place under the remit of the Second Amendment, apparently. And this is all legal within California. It's all given that grace of the peaceful handover of power. And it's all given its permission, really, it's the direct democracy in California. It's no coincidence, and why we entitled the stream Death by Democracy, that California is the state in the US with the largest amount of quote unquote direct democracy. Because it allows them to go several different routes when they want to pass laws or they want to outlaw something. If it is unpopular, they will go the top-down route. If they think they can, get quote-unquote popular support, they will go the bottom-up route. But they are the ones who choose which route to go through. They are the ones who choose if something will be a ballot initiative or it will go through the legislative assembly on its
Or
own.
you spend a couple of million dollars on a Bloomberg NGO outlet to write articles to wag
Yeah.
the dog for you.
Well, yeah, we'll probably actually, I think, come across another trace. Actually, no, I didn't include it, but there's some in the trace on its own is like a case study of how you manufacture kind of public consent, public opinion, because the trace gets quoted by most mainstream media outlets on a lot of occasions. Yeah, we'll go through it here. He's basically dripping laws about the SB 1327 allows private citizens to bring civil action against any person who manufactures, distributes, transports, imports into the state, or sells assault weapons, 50 BMG rifles, ghost guns, or ghost gun kits.
Some guy running about the streets of San Francisco with like a 50 cal Barrett. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, they're also trying to bring action against people in dip. I don't think this will. It's unworkable. Again, it's very symbolic legislation.
Well, it says it as you. I don't know whether or not you mentioned it when you were talking about the ghost guns, but depending on how far you want to push the legislation for what is technically a ghost gun, you through a law like this could give yourself complete and utter right, as far as the law is concerned, to essentially enter every single plumbing store in the state under the auspices of the fact that they might be supplying ghost gun kits because they sell pipes of a certain diameter.
Well, that's the ridiculous thing. There's legislation that was proposed in Washington State that would actually class billets of certain like certain types of aluminium as firearms. Because specifically, they've said you have to manufacture guns out of this specific aluminium. And I'm not joking, this is the actual law there. They're saying that if you're manufacturing a receiver, it has to be out of this specific material. And so any billet of a sufficient size of this specific material is classed as a firearm precursor.
Yeah, it's like
It's.
a priori, a fortiori sort of thing.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, I'm proud to be working with Governor Newsom and his administration to bring accountability to gun manufacturers and others who are flooding our streets with dangerous and deadly weapons, said Senator Hertzberg. The alarm bells are blaring. We could not have a clearer call for action to stop gun violence than what happened on Sunday at the doorstep of our state's democracy. The
Yeah. Well,
legislature will act.
what I was illustrating is that this debate, in quotes, started in early 2021 in San Francisco itself with proposed legislation. And it has only spread, it's spread completely, sorry, to a statewide level. And it's the pipeline there. Where goes San Francisco, so goes California. And where goes California, so goes the US.
Yeah, sorry, HK9410s had a great idea. This isn't a ghost gun, it's an abortion kit.
Yeah, it's a ranged postnatal abortion kit. Yes, that there. So we're just extending the limits to years rather than months. Extremely progressive. Well, again, now that they've got the support of the legislative branch, they have to manufacture some consent. So if you go to the next ABC7 news article, what we have here is group urges passage of gun safety legislation in California. We have the glowiest group of people who are,
More
supported by
calls to
oh
prohibit
the
ghost guns.
most federal money.
Shut up, weird, weird Hapa newswoman. Don't need to hear from you. Roasty check.
It's there we go. Yeah, every town for gun safety and Moms Demand Action, which are basically groups directly formed through federal money through Sandy Hook. Like they are these Sandy Hook NGOs. We'll be holding a press conference on Wednesday via Zoom
Oh, Jesus.
to urge the passage of I can't imagine anything worse than a Moms Demand Zoom press conference. The group's press conference comes after President Joe Biden announced on Monday new federal regulation against ghost guns, firearms without serial numbers. Again, that's the conflation. We'll go through it on Saturday, but that's the conflation being made here. That all guns without serial numbers, basically guns that criminals have filed on, are quote unquote ghost guns, which are the same thing as people who've manufactured a gun.
Which are the same thing as guns before the age of proper serialization.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a story about you here again. Shelter in place lifted after threat prompts lockdown on Cal campus. What were you up to earlier on?
I didn't do nothing.
It wasn't me, not this time.
Wasn't me this time. Oh dear. But what this is going into really in some of the dripping language. Oh God, they talk about the COVID-19 stuff. That's kind of funny. Now they basically talk about the DA's office. Oh God, they have an acronym that spells CARES.
Where's that? Is that further down? It must be.
Yeah, it's further down. Chief Armstrong
Oh,
says they
yeah.
recovered three ghost guns in the city last year, in Oakland. Those are guns that have had their serial numbers removed, by the way. There ain't no brothers in the hood 3D printing firearms.
No, there are not.
Yeah. It's basically the point of this article, though, is to show that when we have top-down action, again, as we've seen with the Supreme Court and other people have talked about civil rights in this light, but when we have top-down action, it's always framed as the people demand.
Oh no, of course it is. That's why it's mums that are demanding action. Don't you know?
Well, now that we've gone through, I'm trying to get through. There's quite a lot we have left to get through, unfortunately. The real kind of meat and potatoes of this, when you look at hybrid arms as a worked example of how you legislate firearm sales out of existence, when you look at the state level of California, you start to see the exact same pattern, really since the 80s. But we don't really have time to cover all of that. We'll just look at really the laws passed and proposed in 2021 and 2022, because they interact in some quite interesting ways. And you'll start to see where this is going and how the entire state of California really will end up like San Francisco, and that it will be impossible to purchase or sell a firearm in California, not because they are illegal, they will still technically be legal, but because of
There will be
the
so
kind of
many,
bureaucratic,
there'll be so many bureaucratic prerequisites that gun law or gun sales basically become something for what we, you know, California's equivalent of the landed gentry, which is like weird bug men buying historical firearms with their weird tech startup money.
Well, if you, I think this needs to be zoomed in on a little bit. Unfortunately, it's not the best format.
I can do that.
Yeah, it's new California gun laws. This has been updated to show what was actually passed in 2021. Because there's quite a few to go through here. I will actually go through probably most of
Oh,
them.
sorry, I've realized it's the bloody OBS window, not the Zoom. Sorry. Next.
There we go. Yeah, legislation passed in California. SB is Senate bill, by the way. AB is Assembly bill. But that's just who created it. All of these were passed by both. But we have SB 376. Yeah. A person did not need this is the redefinition of who does and doesn't require a firearms dealer's license. Basically, what they're saying is they're redefining the law to say that you have to. You can't manufacture or transfer more than six handguns a year. It used to be indefinite number of firearms in general. Now it's only six total transactions per calendar year, regardless of firearm type. So this is amazing. I'm surprised this hasn't been talked about more. But in California, you can't transact seven different times in a year without being a firearms dealer. So if you were to say, buy a handgun, not like it, sell it, buy another handgun, not like it, transfer it back, buy another handgun, not like it, transfer it back. If you were to do that with three different handguns, you didn't like them, you couldn't buy another one. You would have to seek a firearm. Oh, apologies. We seem to have had our second dropout here. I'm not quite sure what's happening. Yeah, we do seem to be having some tech issues today, which is not actually particularly common on this show. We used to have the occasional boomer moment with Trigg's PC, but did have
Oh,
we did
and
have
they're back off
the
just like
occasional
that.
issue. Sorry, I've started streaming again, by the way. Yeah, you completely disappeared there. I don't know what's happened.
The internet keeps dropping out.
Oh, we
I,
need.
this it's the same issue my laptop was having with the Wi-Fi, where it just gives up with a.
Shall I
That's
continue
yours.
streaming from now on then?
Probably for the time being this evening, then yes.
Apologies for that, and apologies for the probably slight decrease in quality from my stream. But yeah, I'll continue with this stream then. As the stream pusher, as it were. Kids, want some stream? What were we talking about? Oh yeah, we're talking about legislation passed in California. But basically, what this means is that if you want to do a seventh transfer, And by the way, this is transfers back and forth. This isn't just receiving a handgun. This is receiving, or I think sending a handgun. I'm not quite sure how they read the law. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But still, six
Well,
transactions.
it'll be the same way that you would transact a title for a car, if I'm correct in saying that, your name and your details are associated with a serial number as one transaction. You then giving someone else that serial number to put alongside their details, be it you buying it or you selling it, I presume counts as a transaction because there must be a change of ownership, unless there is maybe, written into the legislation some form of grace period for up to 4 weeks after you purchase the firearm where the transaction isn't really in your name yet, and who knows.
Well, as we see here, we also have SB 172. These are all laws that are passed, by the way. Now effective, authorized temporary transfer. Basically, what it means is that your firearms can be temporarily given to somebody else if you are deemed as being a risk to yourself. It's basically a private version of like red flag laws. Like someone can take your firearms off you, it seems, if they think that you're going to harm yourself or others. But it also it's a bundled law, and it broadens the application of criminal storage crimes from handguns to any firearm. The whole criminal storage thing is basically if you have a gun in your house, it has to be kept in a safe at all times. Otherwise, if the police come in to inspect you, you'll be convicted for not having your gun secured. Which means that you can't readily use them to defend yourself. That's the real, I think, point of the law. But the yeah, that's what the safe storage law is. But basically, they've redefined it from safe storage of handguns to any firearm. And if you are convicted of a safe storage offense, sorry, you'll be prevented from owning a firearm for 10 years. That's it. It's again, there's this, th these were all these are all just ones that have been passed in 2021. I can keep going.
What was the one you had mentioned earlier on
We'll get
beforehand
to it.
that was to do with
We'll
a.
get to it because it interacts quite heavily with some of the proposed laws. We
Fair
are going through
enough.
all of these, so we will get to it. That's why I wanted to make sure we had enough time for this, because I want to make sure people know how onerous all of this is. Because unless you actually read into the details of what these laws do, people just go, "Oh yeah, California firearms law is terrible." It's just like, well, you have to understand substantively what gets passed in a single year. And yeah, so AB 1297, prior law permitted law enforcement agencies to issue CCW licenses to charge no more than $100 one-time registration fee. The new law removes that cap. Licensing authorities are now able to charge a fee in quotes an equal amount to the reasonable cost of processing the transaction. Basically, what this means is if a law enforcement agency in California decides that the reasonable cost of processing your application is $10,000, that's the reasonable cost. You'll have to go to court to challenge that.
Which would cost you $10,000 probably anyway.
Yes, that's kind of the point, I think. So it's removed the cap. Once they've decided what a new reasonable level is, they can only increase it by the California price index, though. But of course, they get to decide what the reasonable level is. Safety certificate. The new law. So this is AB 645. Basically, you have to produce a massive risk assessment, basically, and a suicide prevention warning label is now required on all firearm sales from dealers, including packaging and any descriptive materials, as well as requiring each licensed firearm dealer to post a suicide prevention warning on their premises. This is like anti-smoking law in the UK. Basically, there's going to be massive stickers all over gun stores and all over gun packaging and gun adverts that say that this product is likely to make you commit suicide. Don't buy it.
This is a constitutionally guaranteed not being dead zone.
He
You can't
is.
kill yourself here, the Constitution says
Yeah.
so.
Here's one of the laws I want you to keep in mind. AB 61. It interacts very, very cleverly with some of the later proposed law in 2022. Prior law authorized an immediate family member or law enforcement officer to petition a court for a gun violence restraining order, which allows the court to remove guns from those with a substantial likelihood to use them dangerously. AB 61, now effective, expands the prior law by authorizing an employer, a co-worker, an employee, a teacher, or a secondary or a post-secondary school, of a secondary or post-secondary school, sorry, to petition a court for a GVRO. Keep that in mind. The key one here is the teachers, which is a basically a designated state employee of power in this situation. As you can tell by the people who are listed, it's very similar to the Scottish named person scheme.
Yes.
If you want to explain that, what that is quickly for
Well,
people.
yeah, the named person scheme was slightly that, or something like that, but from the other way round, whereby you were given, or people who were born between a certain period were, as much as the law wasn't enacted properly, they did, and essentially de facto engage the policy and all HR organisations and basically all public employment in Scotland, whereby someone who works for a government office, police officer, community care people who are working privately for social care but under social care contracts, I think I mentioned teachers, university lecturers, people who take if you take as some form of class for children that is extracurricular, but you're endorsed by the council, I believe you have the same power too. Where you can basically look at the condition of a child and be like, oh, well, they're clearly being abused, so I'm going to be their effective guardian legally and demand that that child gets taken away into someone else's custody. And in the situation here would be that anyone who is in that position of being some public guardian or engaging in some sort of guardianship legislation of wise would have the ability to say that, well, you're at risk of owning a firearm because you're going to hurt yourself or someone else. So I've decided to report you to the police so that any firearms, probably not just on your person, but in the home that you live, would have to be taken away from you.
There's actually a few here I won't talk about because I'm going to go over them in the next stream on Saturday. Because they go over some of the technological aspects I want to talk about. But keep that in mind. The SB 61 I'll go over very quickly basically says that nobody under the age of 21 can buy a firearm at all, even if they are an off-duty armed forces member, basically. So members of the armed forces can wield their duty weapons, but they cannot fire, they cannot buy legally a firearm in California, even though they are technically trained to operate it in a professional capacity, which is just kind of funny. But the rest of them have to do with micro stamping and to do with the ghost gun stuff, which I'll go over on Saturday. I'll leave that aside for brevity. But do keep that in mind, because this interacts very, very closely with the proposed gun bills of 2022. This is from Cal Matters. This has a few other things here. Most notably, it has, if I scroll up a bit here, this is a bit of a bullshit, unfortunately, empiricoid graph, because I'm not quite sure how they define a law that regulates firearm use. But they have a graph here that shows that the median state has about 20 laws that regulate firearm use, whereas California has about 111, and that number has basically doubled since about 1993. But there are 111 laws on a state level in California that govern the use or purchase of a firearm. And is there any other stuff you want to go over, Evelyn, before we proceed too far?
I'm just trying to find where that graph you're looking at is. Every time I load this page up, it's always got them in a different order.
Oh, that's unfortunate. It's a couple of ones above it, but it's just a graph. Number of laws go up, basically.
Well, no, the thing that we talked about briefly in the pre-show is that they try to argue the toss here that, because California has more gun laws than other states on average, therefore that explains why it has less gun deaths on average, which the gun death statistic is dodgy anyway, and how you define what is a law and what's a bylaw and what's, all that. It is in and of itself also dodgy, and purely you can just look at the case of Chicago, which has, as we said, some of the strictest gun laws in America, and yet has the highest, if not one of the highest per capita rates of gun homicide, if you don't just count like the DC area as an area on its own.
Well, the problem with California is that, like all states, they class a gun death as a suicide as well. So you'll find that suicides by other methods are more common, but quote unquote gun deaths are quote unquote lower because of the less there's less suicides by gun and more suicides by other methods. If you look at homicides per 100,000, California is relatively average, with very, very low homicides in rural areas and affluent gated communities, and very, very high homicides in specific areas. So it's very similar to a lot of other US states. It has a lot more homicides per 100,000 people than, say, a lot of the northern Midwest states, which have lower populations but far laxer gun laws.
Yeah, somewhere like Montana or something like that.
Yes, it's very much seems to track in terms of affluence and demographics more than it does with firearms laws, but that's a completely different stream.
Well, see, I think the one of the things you were want I know you were wanting to focus on though is they've got the thing there above the graph you were looking at prior to. Researchers at Boston University have counted 111 California laws that in some way restrict the manner and space in which firearms can be used. They include regulations on dealers and buyers, background check requirements, and possession bans directed at certain, in quotes, high-risk individuals.
Yeah.
How do they know that these 111 laws don't all just contradict each other or make it so much of a minefield that, the average person goes, ah, nah, fuck it, I can't even be bothered.
Well, that's the aim, really. The aim here is to do that. The big one here, we've already talked about the private citizens one, basically the very, very petty bill that they're doing as a response to Texas. It's basically a fuck you Texas bill. The whole abortion law mirroring one. That's SB 1327. Allow gun violence victims to sue gun manufacturers and distributors who fail to establish reasonable control to protect public health and safety. Again, this is very difficult and actually contradicts federal law, and I don't think is very workable. But this is, I think, aimed at running manufacturers out of California. This is very much squarely aimed at trying to stop people from doing any kind of firearms manufacturing in California itself. I think that's the point of that law, rather than to substantively impact the national firearms industry, which arguably it actually it may again, California wagging the dog through its own insane law is something that has happened previously. This is again AB 1621 is a ghost gun in quotes law. AB 2571 is hilarious because it says that you can't advertise firearms or ammunition to minors, which I guess it will probably create a very hard test on that, which will basically be impossible.
Yeah, well, that is take guns out of video games legislation in a lot of ways.
Yes, it is. I think basically what it does, it'll mean that any video game that's has a gun in it will be modified in California, possibly, or at least higher rated in California.
It'll be like the whole thing in Germany about all like the corpses turn into boxes and like Call of Duty games and stuff like that.
Yes. The big one here I want to talk about though is SB 906, which interacts with the law we talked about previously about gun violence restraining orders. It will require school districts to survey parents about whether they have firearms in the home and how they are stored. School districts would also be required to report any perceived threat of a mass shooting event to law enforcement. So basically, what this creates is a dual-purpose, like hall monitor set of laws, in which a school is required to ask parents, and there'll probably be a survey, a provision under the law that parents are compelled legally to answer these questions. And if they answer these questions falsely because they have to register their firearms with the state, they will know. It
I'm
creates
trying, I remember what the Mussolini quote about the state and fascism is. Being like everything under the state, everything for the state, or whatever it is, in San Francisco, it's everything under the public education for the public education. It is so of the sort of mindset that we've talked about a number of times now when we looked at some of the Paul Gottfried and Sam Francis stuff about the
Yes.
early ruminations of what became sort of the theory of therapeutic state. But this just smacks of that kind of stuff really heavily because in and about that legislation, there is the most pithy, poorly formed arguments about how, well, if children grow up in environments where they're normalized to firearms, they're only one step away from being the next Hitler, guys.
Basically, yes. There's also here.
Yes, there we go. Everything within the state, nothing against the state, nothing outside the state. This, but with education.
Yeah, basically. They will also ban the sale of firearms on state property. This would it's effectively aimed at stopping gun shows from taking place at county and state fairs. So you'd struggle to find large venues that could hold a gun show now. Because basically anything that's classed as state property, you're not allowed to sell firearms on. Here's another one. Again, we'll talk about this next time, but I want to talk about it quickly here. AB 2156 require anyone who produces more than four firearms per year, either by milling or use of a 3D printer, to get a gun manufacturing license. Basically, if you want to transfer multiple guns a year or manufacture multiple guns a year, you need to be a firearms dealer, which is very hard to be in California. So they are again tightening the grip here, and this number will probably be reduced and reduced and reduced. And it's very much going to be, well, why do you need more than one gun a year?
Well, yeah, it will get to the point whereby if you want to own a firearm in any way, shape, or form, you would probably have to put yourself down as a
Yeah.
manufacturer or some sort of boutique gunsmither, because otherwise, if ATF officer knocks on your door and
Oh
you've got the
no,
thing
Mr.
half
ATF,
apart.
please.
You've got the thing
Oh
half
no.
apart because you're fixing it, and then well, that's not a completed firearm. It's obviously a ghost gun. So, unless you've got your manufacturing license there.
I'll go over this again when we do the stream proper on Saturday. But have you ever heard of the term constructive possession?
I think you might have mentioned it before at some point.
It's quite funny because under federal law, if you have the components to make what could be considered a short-barreled rifle, they can argue that you are in constructive possession. This is why a lot of the kind of pistol brace legislation is so dangerous, because even if you disassemble your gun, even if you take the brace off your AR pistol, and you repurpose your braces as stocks for your rifle length guns, you can still be held in constructive possession. You still have the components necessary to make a short-barreled rifle. Therefore, you have a short-barreled rifle. Therefore, you are a felon. And that is an argument that isn't made very often, but it's one that legally can be made. And it is.
So, if I'm right there, if you own a certain type of stock on another weapon and you also own an AR pistol, then that's technically illegal because you own those two separate items and could, in theory, combine them.
Yes.
Have I got that right?
Yes. That is the concept of constructive possession. It's legally quite shaky. I'm not sure they'll be able to do it yet, but it is something that has reared its head a few times. That if you have the components, the quote unquote precursors to a short-barreled rifful, you are violating the ATF, sorry, the NFA, and therefore a felon. And I think a lot of the talk of the 3D printed guns and homemade guns is actually, it's moving towards that. You're going to get to the situation in which if you have certain unused components, you'll be held as a felon as well. Basically, it makes it impossible to own certain items without risk, which is what a lot of the suppressor stuff is based on. But I'm moving too far into what we'll be doing on Saturday. Yes. What we see here as well, California and San Francisco are no longer on the forefront. Sorry, San Francisco is no longer on the forefront of gun laws. It seems that San Jose has gone hold my beer, basically. Back in 2021, San Jose emulated San Francisco's law on videotaping gun purchases. And they basically passed an identical law, which meant that all gun purchases have to be filmed. They have to be held for 5 years. You have to give weekly reports to your local police department. They basically created the law in San Jose, which created a situation in San Francisco where there were no gun stores operating. So San Jose is saying very loudly that we do not want gun stores here. We want to emulate San Francisco, and we want to close all the gun stores because we want to create as onerous legislation as possible. But I think a few hung on. So we ended up with a situation where San Jose now requires separate public liability insurance for gun owners. So if you own a firearm in San Jose, you have to basically purchase like the equivalent of car insurance, like mandatory car insurance here. You have to have like separate public liability on top of the fees that you would pay to have a concealed carry license. Because this isn't just concealed carry, this is simply owning a firearm. So it even goes further than like car insurance laws, in that if you have a gun on your own property that never leaves your property, you will still have to get liability insurance.
Oh, see, I quickly googled there to have a look. It seems that there is actually quite a number of gun stores still in San Jose.
Yes. It's a different place in San Francisco. And I
I know
imagine this is a...
it's the bit I was talking about when you go further south in the Bay Area, and it doesn't get particularly good.
They also have a law that requires all gun owners to pay a basically a yearly tax. They have an annual fee. It's only a $25 fee, but it's still basically a kaffir tax. It's a literal gun owner tax, in which and it's kind of symbolic. But they very clearly have a you are not welcome here tax going on. And it goes further even than I think San Francisco does in terms of how it targets gun owners.
Well,
They
because they didn't let you go any further in San Francisco.
no. Again, they promised to sue, blah blah blah, but this will probably put a few gun stores out of business. And again, that's the kind of the point, or at least prevent a few people from buying, guns for self-defense, which again is the point. And it really is, the frontier is never ending. There will never be an end to the frontier. Anything to add?
Well, just to under the ordinance, gun retailers must train employees to question and determine whether each potential customer is attempting to buy a firearm for another person. They must also display signs with information about gun laws, suicide prevention, and domestic violence. Businesses will have 3 months to comply with the new rule.
Yeah, it's very much them taking up the mantle of a lot of the combined stuff that's been put in place for California in general.
Double check. This stuff is in force in San Jose then.
Yes.
If you go to a gun store in San Jose, you will be
It's not in.
filmed,
I think.
monitored, and basically like psychologically screened before
Yes.
you can take your receipt home and wait 30 days for your firearm to arrive.
Yes, on top of all of California's federal laws, yes. It's quite well funny because I remember there was the whole thing during the pandemic of California gun owners, well, during the lockdowns. I shouldn't use that parlance. During the lockdowns, the San Francisco kind of residents and Californians in general attempting to buy guns, being incredibly unhappy with the state of firearms laws. And being extremely disturbed that they couldn't just go into a Walmart and buy a gun, like they'd been told they could. It's like a lot of
But
people,
I
like,
thought this was America.
it basically, yeah, it's quite funny. I don't know, they get what they deserve, but
Well,
I
see,
just.
I don't know. We can maybe jump to the one because I find it all kind of funny that Your High Bridge Law Enforcement Supplies and Arms Inc. The last gun shop in San Francisco is turning into a weed dispensary, and a non-profit weed dispensary, mind you. Not just any kind of
They
dispensary.
could still call it hybrid as well.
Oh,
Sorry.
that's terrible. The Bernal Heights Cooperative, which has been in the neighborhood for 10 years, is being evicted, and the board needed to find a new home.
Yeah, basically, they've turned it into the new home for the weed shop. Wow. All the regime libertarians cheer.
Like, how do you sell weed and not make money? Like, what's the point? What is it like? What is it like? $8 a gram or something? I doubt
No,
it is.
it's exceptionally expensive. I've seen it in Washington, in Seattle. Like, dispensary weed is ridiculous, and most people still buy it on the gray market. Which is kind of funny, but yeah, so
Yeah, the
this was the
cooperative is
fate.
waiting for the city to approve the space to become a medical cannabis dispensary. So they just own the vacant lot of that building now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, to respect the building's history, the dispensary will keep the name
Yeah.
Highbridge. Fortunately, it works for us as well. This is literally like this is again, this almost feels like ritual humiliation.
Yeah.
We're
See
keeping the
that,
name,
that
guys.
I would say this is only from 2016 as well.
Yes, it is. Basically,
The
as soon as the
dispensary will have price points for everybody. So what, you'll sell mids? Cool, bro. Like, that's cool.
Mid.
Ugh, terrible. I don't know, is there any other links in here we should go through quickly?
There's the whole. What I want to talk about is a rounding out of why this stems from the concept of a lot of it from the concept of mass democracy.
Would you like the Vox article, I take it?
Well, I'm running the stream, so.
No, you are, but
In
I
my
want to
stream,
read.
no. In my stream. Yes, we're going to talk about the Vox article. Sorry, I'm a bit twitchy with my clicking here. I think I should probably move this one down here. There we go. That fixes that issue. Yes, but we have a Vox article here from 2020, called "California's Ballot Initiative System Isn't Working. How Do We Fix It?" Basically, the whole ballot initiative thing is California's direct democracy scheme.
God, I've just realized the section in Vox that this is written under is Future Perfect, Finding the Best Ways to Do Good. Got
Yeah.
my Alul senses
It
tingling.
very it, again it is very double plus code here. It does have the big allures, but it's kind of you can see it from the other direction. It's them basically admitting that their utopia isn't working, and that
God, yeah, they really are getting to like the. This is proper like Soviet nonsense. I live in California, and 3 weeks before the election, the people in my quarantine bubble sat down in our living room for a 9-hour research project figuring out how to vote. Not for our elected representatives or for president, but on kidney dialysis regulations and stem cell medical research funding, and whether to uphold a law passed by the legislature replacing cash bail with a risk assessment system. Jesus Christ. And nine more propositions after those. My ballot was 6 pages long, many of them on issues I never thought about before, and after a few frustrating hours figuring out how to vote, will never think about again. God, that's the present-mindedness of democratic governance summed up perfectly in about a sentence or two.
It's a great example of Soviet democracy, and a lot of people laugh at you when you say that, but people have essentially been like psyoped into thinking that the Soviet Union didn't endlessly vote and everything, which it did.
Yeah.
There were, bus councils, there were workers' unions to decide, what coal would be distributed where, there were, essentially like forestry boards, and there was a huge amount of stuff to do with transport and housing. And that many people in the 1920s talked about the Soviet Union's problem being that it had too much democracy.
God, yeah,
And.
the obviously the language how this is written, not to interrupt you there,
Okay, go on.
but direct democracy can be a profound and important tool for political change, and 2020 had many examples of that. In several states, voters decriminalized drugs. The voters did it.
Yeah.
So there is no such thing as this legislatory board. You just all tick a sheet, someone counts all the sheets, and then it's it. We all understand it is now decriminalized. Decriminalized drugs from marijuana to mushrooms, sending a powerful message to lawmakers that their constituents are done with the war on drugs. You are choosing from the lawmakers' choices on criminalization and decriminalization. If they didn't want you to choose it, they wouldn't let you vote on it.
Well, the next paragraph is amazing because they say that, but what doesn't benefit from, what it doesn't benefit from is a system like California's, where ballots get padded out and weighed down with unclearly written ballot propositions on a dozen niche issues. So you, the executive and the power structure gets to decide what isn't a niche issue. Then you give that to the people to reaffirm, and then they take that back. That essentially makes the process meaningless. What pro, you know, quote unquote real direct democracy would be a fire hose of continuous voting in which you'd have thousands of these initiatives to vote on every day.
Well,
And it.
you can tell in the way that it's written as well. If you continue on that, where voters have been asked to simultaneously entertain abolishing and expediting the death penalty, to weigh dueling propositions about plastic bags, to advise the state legislature to overturn US Supreme Court decisions, in brackets, it cannot do that. I'm sure if this person was talking about firearms legislation, they wouldn't care to mention that point.
No.
And now, on two different occasions, to weigh in on the proper running of dialysis clinics leads the pack.
Well,
Ugh.
it's a great thing about like the neutral state. It's like, well, these are obviously ridiculous things for voters to vote on, but.
Well, that's why I'm just waiting for them to say it, because they put in the lead up here. A system that funnels lots of issues, both big and small, directly to the voters leads to bad policy judgments, because underinformed voters don't have time to research and form opinions on all the issues. I can tell already by the use of not uninformed, but underinformed, that the solution here is not less democracy, it's more education. With more democracy on top.
Yes, that's it's it, state problems require state solutions.
Of
The reason I
course.
wanted to include this is it's extremely therapeutic state, and it really does feed into, again, there's stuff about how ballot initiatives work here, blah blah blah, lessons from California. There really isn't a huge amount here that we need to pick through. We'll probably come back to this at some point. I think let me oh, it doesn't have the word education. But it probably has a similar concept. I'm trying to figure out where the rounding out paragraph is here. How to make direct democracy work.
Yeah, sure. Tell me about it. I've got a bridge to sell you.
It's basically just say that we need less democracy to have more democracy.
Well, the issue here, though, is that there is the I can't somebody mentioned it the other day on a Telegram when I'd looked at some other sort of policy and took the piss out of it. But okay, you can engage in this small amount of direct democracy in California and enact laws locally in either your district or your state. But that doesn't mean that these laws per se work.
No.
We trying to then measure the effect relative to other systems of law, or in situations where the law is adapted federally, then you then just can't do any testing whatsoever. So it's for them to then, we have some results from those laboratories of democracy, and they suggest that the initiative system works best when there are a manageable number of initiatives on the ballot at election time. Voter participation is high, and voters are more able to focus their intention on a handful of meaningful, high-value issues.
Of
Should
course.
we legalize marijuana? Should we re-enfranchise people who've been convicted of a crime and serve their sentence? Should we change how our state votes?
Of course, these issues
Ugh.
curated and put forward by the managerial class.
Yeah, well,
That's
no,
what
of course.
that they're calling for managerialism, basically. This is an appeal to the managerialist to
Well, yeah,
decide what isn't important.
the final paragraph there. Direct democracy is a part of our system because of a belief that voters deserve a direct say in how their state is run. The best implementation gives voters a very high meaningful choices well worth their time. If we can't manage that, we're not empowering voters, we're burdening them. I mean, I'm not gonna like go through the whole oh the such and such the founding fathers would be stacking bodies, blah de blah de blah. But you know, if you want to go right back to you know the Mayflower and like the actual setting up of the first colonies in America, when people try pulling this direct democracy shit, the direct democracy shit, they get fucking capped
Yeah,
right
they did.
quick. But it's, you know, it comes right back round to, I think, something you were going to mention earlier on, which is a great piece or the great sort of a line of thought from Lysander Spooner. You know, the he's talking about the Constitution. I can't remember what he calls it, a Constitution, something of treason or whatever else. But you know, if the Constitution cannot directly protect you from the government's influence upon you in any way, shape, or form, then all it does then is surely it facilitates government oppression upon yourself, as opposed to defending you from it.
Well, here's the quote that I put in my American Disease. He just says, "But whether the Constitution really be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it has either authorized such a government as we have had, or it has been
Yes.
powerless to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist." Which is a very pithy way of saying America has the Constitution, reality exists, these two things are irreconcilable.
But yeah, but because there is that notion of self-governance that is an aspect of the Constitution, and that we wouldn't, you know, me and you or the people in the chat understand that, you know, when we were talking about the ability for San Francisco as a community to self-determine in some way, shape, or form because it's able to defend itself, that self-governance, you know, that's you really having power as an entity that doesn't require any institutional backing because you are literally armed to the teeth.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, that gets replaced and slowly warped into this notion of democracy where your self-governing powers are all institutional. They are not sporadic and decentralized.
There's a clip I'm gonna get up here, which is very, very appropriate. You won't be able to hear it, but the I think the people at home will. So I'll grab this in a sec, but it's there we go.
The charge, eating a meal, a succulent Chinese meal.
American Express investigator followed a man he th
Oh, I need to. Oh, he doesn't say it there.
What is the charge? It is.
There we go.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
There we go. That's the Democracy Manifest quote. I love the way he says that. He's a crazy dine and dasher, but it's a great clip. Gentlemen,
Get your hands off my penis.
I didn't have that bit up. A succulent Chinese meal. That's a very good clip. But no, the last thing I want to cover here is the it's kind of the smoking gun here, which is California's Prop 63, which is I think the biggest lurch in firearms laws that California's had in the last 5 years, I'd say. It's probably going to come to another one, but Proposition 63 was a ballot initiative for background checks on all ammunition purchases and the banning of quote unquote large capacity magazines. So magazines are basically over 10 rounds. And this was put to the California, public, and it was approved by, I think, about
63,
60%.
63 to 36%.
Yes. But what's funny here is that part of the initiative is now in limbo, because the
Sorry, Proposition 47 in 2014 made stealing an item that is valued at less than $950 a misdemeanor. Therefore, stealing a gun valued at less than $950 is a misdemeanor. Proposition 63 made stealing a gun, including one valued at less than $950, a felony punishable by up to 3 years. It's like, oh God, we've got to plug the legislatory gap where people are stealing guns that cost $949 and getting away with it as if it was a petty crime.
That is a very funny part of it. Yeah, it changes the state law. Yeah, it's just hilarious, but people have to live in this mess.
No,
yeah,
they don't.
they don't have to, no. That's again a separate discussion. What's funny here is the amount spent on a ballot initiative. Apparently, the surface money for this was over $5 million worth of campaigning, which is extraordinary for a single ballot measure.
The anti-gun grifts, it's a profitable grift, that.
Well, the amount of money spent was apparently 5-1. There's a lot of interesting stuff on this. I don't know, sometimes it's not great Ballotpedia, but this one actually seems pretty well filled out. Because it really does show that back in 1982, there was a ballot initiative that actually failed miserably about the registration of handguns, which is very, very, you know, a lot less extreme than the firearms laws we have now. But what this shows is that ballot initiatives, coupled with a legislative process that continuously tries to fire hose out these laws, will eventually create a situation in which either people vote yes or a legislative body votes yes.
Yeah.
And if you keep repeating it, if you keep going through the democratic cycle, eventually they say yes and they never have a ballot about it. It's, you know, it's a settled subject once they get the result they want. Proposition 63 is a great example of that, because I don't think if, you know, quote unquote public opinion were to swing back the other way, they would never have another ballot initiative on it. It wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be permissible. And yet we see it here with Proposition 63, in that I think that was probably too extreme for the legislature, but by putting it to the voters, they've been able to lurch the laws in a in a restricted direction and say, well, the people demanded it. So.
Yeah, the 35% of state legislators have appealed to the 65% of the electorate and won a sort of quasi-majority sort of mandate through that by not actually having a governing minority. They've roped the people into creating the popular sentiment of governance.
Yes, and that's where we find ourselves, really. That's the story of the last gun store in San Francisco and how the implications that closed it are the same processes that are driving kind of restrictions on a statewide level. It's a great example of how bureaucracy, as generated by, you know, local and state and then, you know, national democracy in the US, has created a situation in which people's rights do not exist because of weight of legislature and through the cycle of just vote again, basically.
Yeah, that's very EU.
It's extremely EU, yes.
It's the Lisbon Treaty of gun legislation.
Check, we don't have any more donations or super chats. I'm sorry about the technical issues, guys. We'll try and get those sorted for next
time.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure what to do in that front, because that kind of, I don't know if it's going to be consistently dropping out, that upends possibly my plans that I had for next month, which I might as well ask people about in chat whilst they are there and I have their ear at the end of the stream. I have been lucky enough to have been given the opportunity to go to Mises University this year, and providing some logistical things can be worked out, there is no reason why I can't go. The only slight hitch might be that I might be looking to fundraise my flights, and I'm planning to do that by essentially reading Human Action at length, maybe reading the whole thing of it, depending on whether or not I reach the goal for the funding before I reach the end of the book, or however that works out. But if, I don't know, if people in the chat would support that and would actually, I don't know, even if there's only like 10 people out there would listen to the length of it, that's all I need.
Well, we'll try and publicize that more. We have had a little bit of a limited reach with this stream simply because it kept going offline so often.
Yeah.
I'll figure something out. That can be worked out. That can be fixed, I think. If I need to stream, I can stream, because this has been very consistent, actually.
Yeah.
I just prefer, because you've got the faster internet technically, and I do occasionally.
I would be doing that probably during the day and all sorts of strange times to try and get through as much of it as possible.
Really. Yeah, I know that. We can try and figure out what's going on your end with the streams. But thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys again for sticking with us during the technical issues. We'll be back. Me and Trig will be back with our guest, Mr. Spookware, on Saturday at about 10 p.m. I'll probably put the pre-stream up for that tomorrow, so watch out for that. I don't think we have much else to show.
Someone's asking me what the funding target would hopefully be no more than about £1,000, really. I think that's probably what the total cost of my flights. I mean, there will be other travel and other things, but if that main chunk can be helped by my many internet friends, then that would be greatly appreciated.
There we go.
I was going to mention as well the fact you're talking about future streams. We will also be streaming with Radlib on Monday. That will be at a later time, though, so that'll be 9:30 UK time.
Yes, it will be. We also have the Substack, as you guys know about. I've been showing that for a little bit, but we've had quite a few articles over the past couple months or so. I've got a couple. I need to finish my written version of my speech because there's a couple of structural issues with it I've not had time to fix yet. You've got your Why Settle for Less, which was quite popular. I quite enjoyed that one. In fact, zoom in, it looks bad on the stream, but do come and check out Anti-Politics. Link is down below. We do have written content, and there is more longer form content forthcoming. Apart from that, I don't have much else to shill. You've already done your stream marathon, so before we get too long in the tooth, I will say thank you guys for watching, and good night.
Goodbye.